Earlier today, a judge dismissed the child pornography charges against John Mark Carr. It's now official. It's now final. And so John Mark Carr is going to appear on Larry King Live tonight and have his say in front of an international audience. I think our first guest today is responsible for John Mark Carr getting booked on that TV show. His name is Larry Garrison. He's got a new book out called The Newsbreaker, a behind-the-scenes look at the news media and never-before-told details about some of the decade's biggest stories. Larry, are you a newsbreaker or a news broker?
A little bit of both. I am more of a consultant producer. President of Silver Creek Entertainment. By the way, thank you for having me on your show.
My pleasure.
I've listened to it when I've been out in your way before, and I'm very pleased to be on it. But more important than that, I'm president of Silver Creek Entertainment. I produce film and TV. And what I explain in my book, The Newsbreaker, is that I got into doing true stories for film and TV and for literary, for books. As you probably know, I co-authored the book Aruba, which is a New York Times bestseller on Natalie Holloway. But what I do is I get true stories, and then when the news comes in and they want to spin my story and not make it accurate, I'm there to keep it true for the public. Not all times do I take it to a movie and a book. Sometimes I'll just be there for the family and produce news pieces, and that's how I make my living.
So am I correct in saying that John Mark Carr is on Larry King Live tonight because of you?
Well, I did speak to one of his bookers and to Larry, and Larry had asked me if I would be kind enough to introduce him to John, and that's all I did.
How did you get introduced to John Mark Carr?
Well, his brother Nate and his other brother Michael, who's a teacher, was falsely being accused of taking John Mark Carr to a Ramsey party. And their lives were at stake, and Nate basically came to me and asked me. He had heard about me. He knew about my book. It's the news business is basically small. And he came to me and said, can you help me get the truth out? At that point in time, what most people don't know is that he was being offered $150,000 to do a tabloid. And he turned that down to go on Good Morning America two times just to get the truth out.
By tabloid, you mean a tabloid TV show, Inside Edition?
No, a tabloid newspaper.
Like The Inquirer?
Like that.
Okay. And so he comes to you and decides not to go for the money, but to go rather on GMA. Why not go for the money? What was more important to him?
His life. Picture this. Michael's a teacher, and they wanted the truth to come out. And when you want the truth to come out, you go with the best.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I when I wake up in the morning, I turn on ABC News because I know they're reporting not only my stories but other stories accurately. And there are other people like Larry King who will report things accurately.
Okay, so once you get involved with Nate and Michael Carr, then how do you get involved with John Mark Carr? Do they say, you know, well, we want our brother's story to be told?
Well, what happened was they wanted the truth to come out, being a journalist and also working with ABC News, I was the only journalist asked to go to Santa Rosa, and I met with John Mark Carr several times, which was a trip for me emotionally, and I also spoke to him several times on the phone and was setting up interviews. See, I believe there's two sides to every story, and then there's the truth. Everybody has the right and the propensity to be able to go out and speak out. I am not an advocate of anyone being a pedophile or any problems in this world, but I have a responsibility to the public to make sure that the truth is reported. Just like I mentioned in my book, The Newsbreaker, when I talk about Michael Schiavo, for a year I reported his side of the story because that's the only access that I had. And when I met with him, I was shocked to see a different type of person. But most definitely, and I want your viewers and you to understand, my book is not just about the untold part of stories and brokering stories. The real essence of my book is for people to learn how to cut through the spin and how to do exactly what I do to get the truth like you would, with whether it be an AP, Associated Press wire or whatnot. Because by the time they stop playing telephone and by the time it gets to Nancy Grace, it's so blown out of proportion that it's sad.
But the fact of the matter is, Larry, that for most people, getting access to a media outlet, even one like KMOX, the biggest station in St. Louis, getting access to getting on this radio station, if it's not somebody we know or a story that we're not familiar with or whatever it may be, that is going to be limited access. I'm guessing that for a person like you who has worked with the people at ABC and with Extra and others, I'm sure you can pick up the phone and you can call Diane Sawyer and say, hey, you know that big story you're doing? I've got an angle on it. I've got a guy who knows what is going on in that story. And they take your phone call where they wouldn't take, you know, somebody else off. Ben Garrison calls them. Ben's not getting through. Larry's getting through.
But let me explain to you, I wasn't talking about that. What I'm talking about is going on the internet and going to a site like Scared Monkeys where they report things accurately. They did that for me with and my sister who wrote the book with Dave Holloway. We worked with them to make sure that the truth came out, and they report things accurately. If anybody has access on the internet to the Associated Press wires to breaking news, when you read a story and it breaks, by the time you see it on Nancy Grace, it's gone through a metamorphosis that is unbelievable. There are so many people. There are so many people reporting the same story, and because of the propensity to get ratings, well, all they want to do is have something different, a different hook, and they blow it out of proportion. And I can give you a perfect example with my Aruba story. There was a journalist who claimed that he found an arm in Aruba that was Natalie Holloway's arm, when in essence all it was a Halloween prop. And can you imagine being Dave Holloway and Beth Twitty hearing that they found their daughter's arm? I mean, that's the press at its worst. But most definitely, you know what playing telephone is like, and you can go on the wires. You can look at breaking news. You can go to abcnews.com, and as things break, you can get an alert on your internet and see basically how things are breaking and then see how it changes.
Why did America care about Natalie Holloway?
Great question.
I mean, it's horrible what happened to her, whatever the heck happened to her. And it's the same thing with JonBenet Ramsey and others. But these are stories that, let's be honest, they have nothing to do with our everyday life. They have no impact on us whatsoever. Why do we care?
It doesn't. Well, let me tell you how I feel. I have three children. My 22-year-old daughter, Lindsay, came to me and said, Daddy, if I ever get lost, please don't give up looking for me. Natalie Holloway became the symbol of everybody's child. And all I can tell you is that my sister and I, since the book coming out and everything else, have been working with missing persons, helping other people to find their children, their spouses, their loved ones. And I do think that it brought awareness about Aruba, that nobody should go there, that there it's totally corrupt and it's a joke. I would never go there ever. And all I can say to you is, something evolved with that story because everybody went nuts over it. I if God forbid something like that happened to one of my children, I would not stop looking, would you?
No, it's not a matter of whether we would stop looking, but there are hundreds of teenagers. Let me change that. There are hundreds of people who disappear every year in all sorts of bizarre circumstances. Mm-hmm. And yet there was something about this attractive teen blonde that became a major story, and I think mostly because of the cable news networks.
Yes, and if you go and turn on Greta tonight or MSNBC, they're now showing, and they have a propensity to show more shows about missing kids. White black, Hispanic, and I'm hoping, I'd like to believe that that had evolved from this one little girl. Some, you know, from bad comes good. And yes, it was overdone. I mean, I was the one who brought Joran van der Sloot with my sister Stephanie Good to New York. And all I can tell you is that we were hoping for the truth to come out. That story is not over, Paul. Within the next month, we're hoping that something else will be happening. And, you know, if Natalie's disappearance brings down the corruption in Aruba, and if parents are more aware of sending their children to different places, then we've achieved something.
And that wouldn't happen without the glaring spotlight of the media?
Well, you know, I'd like to believe that the media does help bring certain issues to the attention of the public.
Well, right. There was such great criticism of that, of
yeah,
the Natalie Holloway story, so of the blonde issue. And that's why there, I believe, that's why there's greater coverage of other missing persons who aren't blonde.
Well, you know, and you might be right about that. The most important factor here is that it got out, the truth got out, and other people are more aware. And for my own children, I'll tell you, I'd think twice before I'd send them anywhere.
We started talking here, Larry, about John Mark Carr, who's going to be on with Larry King Live tonight. And the New York Post page 6 gossip column says that Dr. Keith Abloh, who I guess has got his own syndicated show now, has done an interview with John Mark Carr, and that some of that will show up on the Today Show. Now, in the book, you talk a little bit about how the networks don't directly pay for these stories and for these interviews, but sometimes they go through these syndicated shows. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I basically, what happens is sometimes the tabloid shows will go by and buy pictures and video to create an illusion that they're not paying for the interview. One thing I do say in my book, which is really, really important, is in all the years that I've seen even major networks pay along that basis, it's never tainted a story. We usually weed through the people that are trying to spin things for money. And it's quite obvious when there's someone who's looking, like a Nate Carr, was not looking for money. Nate was looking for the truth to get out. And it's funny, while we were, you had me on hold with your commercials and whatnot, some of the people that have bought my book, I have in the back of my book, my email address for people to send me stories.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a few people emailed me. I'm sitting at my desk right now, asking me to tell you about the story with Nancy Grace. Sometimes, and this is relating to Carr, sometimes people, journalists or whatever you want to call them, will know the truth and spin the story knowing the truth. And one perfect example was Nancy Grace reported that I'm an executive producer in film and TV and an author, and therefore, since I was working on the Carr story, therefore, I must be doing a movie and a book. Well, I called Nancy immediately and told her I wasn't. And for 1 week, it was the lead-in on her show. How dare Garrison and Nate Carr have the audacity to make money off of a pedophile, she was saying to the American public. Shame on her. She knew that I wasn't doing a movie and a book. And when Nancy Grace came back to me to ask me to put Nate and John Mark Carr and myself on her show, I refused.
How do you make money?
I make money like you make money.
I host a radio show. You don't host a radio show. So what?
I'm not getting paid for this interview, but let me put it to you this way. I'm an executive producer in film and TV. If I produce a segment on NBC and they pay me to produce a segment, Is that wrong?
So when you say produce a segment, you have a story that you want told, you have a client or somebody that you want told, you go to the network or whatever the news outlet is, they want to do that story. They don't write a check directly to your client. They will write you a check for producing or consulting on that story. Is that how it works?
Okay. If someone decides to pay a client for pictures and video, that has nothing to do with me.
Right.
If I go and I give my services as an approved executive producer in film and television, where I've done every show, and I get on a plane and I fly and I consult and I work with a major journalist to make sure that the truth comes out, I get paid for that. And I'm proud to say I get paid for that. That's not an easy job.
Do your clients pay you? Does Nate Carr pay you?
No, never. Never.
So it's the news outlets that are paying you to help you get them access and the inside information on a story.
It's the news outlets that pay me for my services as an executive producer. When I do a film like I did a film on Sante Kimes, The Mother and Son Grifter. Then there was a book that was done that won the Edgar Allan Poe Award. There was a movie that I executive produced for CBS starring Mary Tyler Moore. I worked on that movie producing it, and I got paid my executive producer fee. You have a show. You have an executive producer working on your show right now that puts all the stories together for you that you report every day to your listeners. Your executive producer may either have people getting that story or he or she may get it themselves, and they get paid a salary or whatever. That's what I do. I'm an executive producer.
When you have a client, Larry, who has a story that they want to have out for whatever reason, whether it be financial or because they just want the truth to come out or because they just crave the spotlight, whatever their reason is, how do you get them to not talk to everyone? In other words, how do you get that person to say, I'm going to only go to Barbara Walters, or I'm going to only go to whoever it may be, and keep the lid on a story so it becomes more valuable in every way?
I have to tell you, you're more sophisticated. The questions you're asking me are very, very good questions.
Thank you.
And I appreciate it. I explain to people that you aim for the top. And you look at the Diane Sawyer or the Barbara Walters or the Larry King. Because if you go and you do a smaller station, it dissipates the intensity of the story. I was on the phone with a father this morning of the little girl who went on MySpace and said she was going to kill Bush. She really didn't mean it. And she was then questioned by the Selective Service. And he asked me, why can't I do just a little morning show or a news show? And I said to him, if you want people to know the truth about your daughter and your family, you go on the bigger shows and work your way down. And at first he didn't understand it, and I said to him, well, it's like going out to eat. If you have a major snack at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're not going to be that hungry at 6 o'clock when you're going to go eat. And if Larry King is not going to want a piece that's been on 15 other shows, the major journalists want to go first.
And so do you then go to ABC or CNN or NBC or CBS or Fox and say, look, here's what I have, and you can have it, and you can have it first, and you can get the biggest exposure first before anybody else, but here's what I want. I want primetime access. I want major promotion. No. I want you to play this up as a big deal.
No, I don't say that. Usually the stories that I'm involved in are what we call the oh my God stories, and everybody's clamoring for it. I don't have to call them. They usually come to me begging me for my stories. And what I do is I decide who would articulate and be in the best interest of my client. And then I will funnel where it should go and what should be done. Sometimes people, some of my clients are not as loyal as others. So they won't listen, and then they wind up doing one or two things, and the story dies. I don't look to keep every story alive forever. I'm tired of the John Mulcair story. I think it should end right now, here and now, and that's it. I don't really want to care. I don't care to deal with it anymore in the future unless something comes up that I'm not aware of.
Let's move on to a couple of other stories that you've been involved in, Larry. In particular, Robert Blake and Bonnie Lee Bakley. What was your involvement there?
Well, I had procured the rights to Christina Shire, who was Lee Bonnie Bakley's best friend and confidant of 25 years. She had her diary, her black book, and basically the truth about what really came down.
Do you go find her, or does she come to you?
Well, on that particular story, there was a journalist that was working on it and came to me to ask if I would be interested in possibly doing a book. And I became involved with the story and then went on Larry King Live with her and did numerous news pieces. Unfortunately, the LAPD was not interested after what happened with O.J., and because of Lee Bonney's tainted reputation, the LAPD really wasn't interested in the material that we had. I think if they had had it, it might have made a difference. But unfortunately, that's, you know, sometimes things like that happen.
In the book, on a couple of stories, you say that you made the decision for the public as to what was really important for them to know. Give me an example.
Well, the best example I can give you is what just happened to me with Nate Carr, that he was not at that party.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when you look back at Aruba, that was important to know that there was corruption. If you look at the Michael Schiavo story, he was looking for $5 million for a book deal.
Yeah, let's talk about that dinner you had with Michael Schiavo, because you worked quite a bit without even meeting the guy on making sure that his side of Terry's story got out. Then you actually went to Florida and had dinner with him, and in reading that book, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. It must have for you, too.
It did. It was a very upsetting evening. All I felt I was doing as a journalist was reporting information that was given to me vis-a-vis the courts and the attorney, George Filos, his attorney. When I went there to meet with him and George Filos and his brother Brian, and here's a man who just lost his wife and was supposedly grieving, his first words out of his mouth was, you know, I just lost my wife and I'm looking for $5 million for a book deal. And I was appalled, just appalled. It was a really rough evening for me.
Was that more appalling to you than the fact that the governor and the president and the Congress ended up getting involved in that story?
Well, as a journalist, I never take sides. But what was more appalling to me was that, I looked him straight in the eye and I said to him, Michael, your wife, she was a Catholic. You cremated her. And I asked him, doesn't Catholics, aren't they against cremation? Why did you cremate her? And he looked down at the floor. The biggest question I had was why, most definitely, would somebody not allow her parents in the room when he knew she was departing?
Larry, when you were dealing with these stories and taking them to various media outlets and trying to get the biggest exposure for them, is part of that decision who's going to pay the most to you as the producer slash consultant on the story?
Not at all. It's funny. You keep going back to money, and well, I want you to understand, you're sitting on the show reporting the news and interviewing me, and you get paid for a living. I never let money get in the way. The way I really make my living is not off the news. I'm an executive producer in film and TV. I'm a New York Times best-selling author. I like writing books. I like telling stories. When I go out, I would not be involved in the news side at all if there weren't people like Nancy Grace who would spin a story. But I have to protect my future investment, where I have to make sure that it's reported properly because people deserve the truth. When I sign my books, I sign it, the truth is better than the spin, and it is far more superior than the spin. And most definitely, I don't want someone to report something and to dissipate the actual story by lying for ratings. And you know that's all they do out there.
It seems to be that whenever you see these big stories blow up, everybody comes out of the woodwork and everybody has an angle on the story, and sometimes the truth does get lost in all that. I thank you for your time today, Larry. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
Larry Garrison's book is The Newsbreaker, a behind-the-scenes look at the news media and never-before-told details about some of the decade's biggest stories. This is News Talk 1120 KMOX.